Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is our, I guess it's our season premiere of our regular weekly Hoops HD report
Woohoo!
for the
Yeah.
2024-2025 season. Recording here on Monday, November 11th. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Got John Tytell and David Dorman up here with me. John Salica below me. David Griggs to one side of him.
I'm here.
And
I'm here.
out in the pitch black there is Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org joining us. We should, I guess we should get right into it. We are on the, I guess technically is the 8th day of the college basketball season, Griggs, is that correct?
Yeah, it is. Because a week ago was day one, it's 7 days later, so it's day eight.
And for those of you that are new to the show, what we're going to do is we're going to pull up standings and we're going to go through conference by conference, all of the major conferences, not just the power conferences, but also the ones we consider to be the regular multi-bid leagues, things like the West Coast, the American, and oh, I don't know what,
Atlantic
Mountain
10,
West, Atlantic
Mountain
10,
West, yeah.
I guess without further ado, let's pull the screen up real quick here and cross our fingers again that still worked, and it did. And just real quick, for those of you that are new to the show and see a shitload of numbers on the screen and say, what the hell is all that? I'll go take 10 seconds here, just review what we've got. This is the Big East Conference, obviously. We've got the conference standings. We've got overall standings. We got record versus D1. We've got the net, which doesn't come out till December. We'll talk about a lot of that later in the season. We've got a brand new column this year, the WAB, which stands for Wins Above the Bubble. It's an NCAA metric that will also be coming out in December. That since we don't have numbers yet, it's probably not worth discussing much at this point. But I think at some point we're going to have probably some lengthy discussions about this number.
Yeah.
Right now, it's zero on everybody though. OAR is an average of all the metrics. SOS strength of schedule. We've got three resume-based metrics, the KPI, which is not out yet. The ESPN's SOR and our JNG ratings. Joby not with us tonight. His rankings are right up there on top on the website.
Yes.
And the three major predictive metrics, KenPom, BPI, and the Torvik rankings, along with offensive efficiencies, defensive efficiencies, tempos, all from KenPom, and your current rating in the AP and coaches poll. Yes, I get it all, Griggs.
I think so. And
All
then,
right.
well, no, you missed one.
Okay.
Like you have on the very far right next to all of that. This is really hard to understand and explain. Past week's results, what is that?
Yes, we have scores on the right, and I will switch it over to upcoming schedules on the right as well. Although when we're in non-conference schedule, quick note here, the scores in red are losses by the conference, the scores in blue are wins. Obviously, we'll get to conference play. They'll be neither red or blue because, that doesn't really apply. But let's start things off right here in the Big East where there's, several stories we can get to. And Rocco, let me start with you because we thought maybe Villanova might have a little bit of something this year, and they've proven us completely wrong so far this year, haven't they?
Well, I think it's a lot of Eric Dixon and not a whole lot of anything else. And of course, he was suspended on opening night. So we got to see him go big against Columbia, but he was not the best all around player because that would be Geronimo Rubio de la Rosa for the Lions, who did it all. But I think, Villanova is just, they need another weapon or two, from what I can tell. And they're not playing a lick of defense. Right now, if you take away, and again, we're so early in the year, it's hard to even take it that seriously, but they have some serious warning signs performing as a 300 plus defense last week. And that's where, giving up easy baskets the way they did, giving up 90 to Columbia, giving up easy baskets in a couple of those other games that they were able to win. There's a lot of warning signs. And I think the more the performances go like this, if they continue, of course, the heat on Kyle Neptune, if it's not already as high as it can get, it's just going to increase with every loss. So, there's a lot of concerned folks in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and Stalika, on top of that, Seton Hall suffered the second of the three losses by the Big East, but the conference overall struggled in a lot of its games, even though they got some wins. But Seton Hall, home loss to Fordham, first time they lost at that Walsh Gym in like 25 years or something ridiculous.
I think it was more than 25 years. You have to go back to the 20th century as to when they last lost there. But also
It would
losing
be
to Fordham.
25 years, right? Yeah.
That would be after St. John's had blown Fordham out of the water. Not a good sign for the Pirates.
And Griggs, you were very high on Butler heading into the season.
Well, yeah, but that
Ooh.
was, we need to go back and delete that. I thought they would be sort of a surprise team. You see, they're one of the three losses to Austin Peay, who's one of the better teams in Clarksville, Tennessee, to be fair.
Tytel, you got just go see the Hoyas with their win over big win. Was it the big win over Lehigh or was it the Fairfield win? Or maybe both of them.
I did not make it out to the Lehigh game. That was on campus at McDonough Gym, but I did make it down the street to the Capital One Arena for the win over Fairfield. And frankly, it's not often I get a chance to discuss an undefeated Hoya team, so I figured I should take advantage while I can. It might not sound impressive, but this is a program that has three straight seasons of 23 plus losses, so we'll take it. The key has been a pair of newcomers. They got the young guy, freshman big man Thomas Sorberg, 23 points, 11 boards a game. I'm not comparing him to Ewing, Mutombo, Mourning, all the legendary centers, but he is looking very good very early. And TCU grad transfer Micah Peavy, second in the nation in steals, five per game. He's all over the place. Coach Cooley called him the best on-ball defender in the nation. High praise. If they can somehow beat Notre Dame at home this weekend, they have five straight home games after that against teams outside the top 250. I'm telling you all, 8-0 is a legitimate possibility.
And
All right.
perhaps one of the better stories in the conference that has, in my opinion, not shown out at all. They've yet to win any sort of game that wasn't a home bye game. And again, during the first week, you see a lot of that. I'm not going
Well,
to
Griggs,
beat up.
or play a game that's not a home bye games, but go ahead.
Yeah, or play one. And I know that, like, you're not going to beat them up too much. As much as I don't like it, you can't say it's an uncommon practice for teams to want to ease into their season. But a lot of these games were, they had to sweat it out. You mentioned Villanova losing their game. Xavier down in the second half, I think, in both of their games. A lot of teams, St. John's, while they did pull away from Quinnipiac, was down for a lot of that. Not a whole lot of impressive showings in this league.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one impressive showing Dorman was statistically for Creighton, although even they it was only a 13-point win and not a blowout over UTRGV.
Yeah, they were. They go ahead. Sorry, you're.
they could never pull away from UTRG. They hung in there. They hit some big shots, but like you said, yeah, they just Creighton could not pull away and get that lead and cruise on home. But in their first game, they were pretty impressive and they did a cruise on home. But I think Creighton will be just fine. And Creighton has all the potential firepower they're going to need to make a nice long run this year. And I think they will compete with UConn for this Big East title.
And Mark, let's not forget about Marquette.
I love Marquette team too.
And they are actually playing right now. I'm trying to get there very early 3-point lead against Central Michigan. But quick look at the upcoming schedule here in the Big East, where maybe things will get a little bit better in terms of games. Although I guess we got Marquette at Maryland on Friday, and Griggs, I know you've circled Villanova and Virginia as like one of the greatest games of 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean the whew, I'm going to be locked into that one. There are some good games here. Wake Forest goes to Xavier. That's their sort of first real test. Wake, we'll get to them here in a second. New Mexico, we'll get to them later in the show. Had a really nice win at UCLA and might be a little. I mean, I think we all thought they were going to be good, all of us, but Joby. St. John's is going to get pushed in that game. I think so. There are some games here that exceed what had been nothing but home bye games so far.
I agree. But let's take a look at, well, you mentioned Wake. Let's go right over to their conference next. Let's jump over to the ACC. And Tytel, what about this Wake Forest team here? Let's start with them off to a 3-0 start.
So this is a team that started 2-3 last year, but Coach Steve Forbes 3-0 after the 2-point win over Michigan in Greensboro on Sunday. The Demon Deacons were down by 13 points after 11 minutes, but they didn't give up, fought all the way back by forcing 16 turnovers on defense. Very tough schedule ahead. We mentioned Xavier. They're also at A&M, a neutral site game against Florida in Orlando, and depending on how things work out in the bracket, perhaps Minnesota as well. The outside shooting has been atrocious, 26% behind the line. But App State transfer Javon Spillers has been great himself inside. 13 points and 10 boards a game. He's only 6'7". He's averaging a double-double.
Yeah, don't forget that Wake Forest-Michigan game. That was the the Deacon versus Wolverine Challenge.
The Deacon Wolverine Challenge. What an amazing name for an event. I mean, what committee came up with that? That is just so brilliant.
That was the Hoops HD rivalry generator that came up with that one.
It must have been something.
They're going to play again next year in Detroit, so that's part of it.
It's a good series. It's just I just thought it was funny that that was the name they came up with, the Deacon Wolverine Challenge, or the Wolverine Deacon Challenge. I don't remember, but yeah, it's just uncreative as possible.
They were in a hurry to sell tickets, but maybe they should have spent another day on that one.
Rocco, one of the few losses the conference did suffer was very respectable, though. North Carolina going to Kansas and almost knocking off the Jayhawks there.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can really hope for. No shame in losing there. And you just don't want to go and get beat by 20 or, have a bunch of warning signs. I don't think any of that was the case. They had six guys scoring double figures. Seth Trimble played really well. You know, last time John Tytel and I saw him, he was basically getting benched at the end of their loss to Alabama in the Sweet 16. So that's a really good sign for the season. RJ Davis had a mostly productive game, but once again went cold from deep, 1-for-7 from three. But I'm also not as high on Kansas as the masses. I still think they're top 10 good. I just don't think they're the best team. But again, you go North Carolina, travel to Kansas, you play in that rowdy environment on a Friday night. That's a pretty good showing. I think you leave with your head up high.
And how about that second half? They were down by as much as 17, I think, and came back and got the lead in that rowdy environment in against Kansas, who I agree, Rocco, I don't think they're number one good, but I think you and I are on the same page as that. But to go in there, that was an impressive opening night. That was great.
Yeah, I think that's going to help them a lot, too, because you're going to have all these games in the ACC where you need to, you're not going to be on in the first half, and you're going to have to come back to a moment where you were able to persevere in a tough environment. And they've got one of the best places in the country to pull from now, this experience that when inevitably they're going to have those challenges on the road in the ACC, they'll be able to pull from this.
Dorman, ACC suffered a loss here by Louisville, a game that Cardinals fans were actually kind of excited about that they might be competitive in, but they weren't quite against Tennessee.
I was with Cardinal Nation. I think I've been watching too much Pat Kelsey on social media. He got everyone hyped up. He got a whiteout going. He got all the students involved. He had a packed house, and then they absolutely laid an egg. They were really to Louisville. Tennessee got up double digits, and it never got closer. Tennessee Ziegler, the point guard, handled the ball for him really well. He gets the ball to the right guys in the right spots. He's that quarterback on the floor. The coach loves him. The players listen to him, and he's just everything they need. Tennessee, I think, is loaded to make another big run this year. I know they lost a lot of offense. But I think Tennessee has a lot of good parts. But back to Louisville, they just – I think they're going to be a lot better than they were last year. I just don't think they're upper echelon ACC good yet.
Talk about a team that's probably not upper echelon ACC good either, Griggs. One of the stunning losses, Georgia Tech, a home loss to a North Florida team that picked up a couple of wins, and it's going to get some serious discussion on Wednesday night during our Under the Radar show.
Be sure and tune in for that. One of the better stories in college basketball. They'll get their turn Wednesday night, but I was more impressed with North Florida than I was disappointed in Georgia Tech, but I think that I wasn't expecting much from the Jackets this year, and they're delivering.
All right. I guess one more team real quick here, Rocco. I know you had a few thoughts on Stanford, the Cardinal with a win over Cal State Fullerton as their only win in the last 7 days. I guess they won Monday night also.
Yeah, so I covered the Monday afternoon game against Denver, one of the earlier games of the whole season, and I'm pretty impressed with the how fast it's come together with Kyle Smith, of course, a great coach, and with Maxime Reynaud coming back. I think that was bigger than has been talked about in this league. He's a dominant big man with international experience at 7'1", 14 rebounds against Fullerton just a couple days ago. And I think the big story is Benny Gaylor, a preferred walk-on, not only won the starting job, but he made 10 three-pointers in the first week. The guy is absolutely lights out. I guess he's been doing this in practice for 3 years and finally just got the courage to start doing it in the games, and Kyle Smith's given him a real shot here. You got a lot of talent with guys like Ozias Sellers, who really started to break out last year for USC. So they are not a team to look over by any means. You have a great coach. You have great pieces. You know, and everybody talked about Louisville being that team that could be the upstart team, and maybe they will be, because Louisville arguably has more talent than Stanford. But I would not be surprised if Stanford's the team that surprises a lot of people in this league.
All right. Here's a look at the upcoming schedule here in the ACC. As you can see, there's some of the games that actually goes down off the bottom of the screen a little bit here. There's actually a lot of good ones here. Beginning, of course, tomorrow night with Duke and Kentucky in the Champions Classic as one of the two games there. Followed up, of course, you got West Virginia Pitt coming up this weekend, Florida State. We already talked about a few of the others. Slika, we do need a pick from you in the Wake Forest Xavier game before we go into a few of these other upcoming games.
You know I'm going to be picking the Musketeers on that one. Probably going to have to outscore them, although obviously this is going
generally
to be the defensive team that they're going to be facing this year. But one other game I want to highlight this week, SMU going to Butler Friday night with the Bulldogs. Well, they did finally pull away in their game tonight against Western Michigan. How will they do against their first power opponent in the Mustangs?
I'm thinking not well. And Stalika, I concur with everything you just said. In order for Xavier to beat Wake Forest, they're going to have to outscore them.
Friday night, the backyard brawl. West Virginia's going to Pitt. Florida's going to Florida State. Friday is a good day of college basketball.
It is.
It really is. Saturday, we got Notre Dame, Georgetown. We actually have a very interesting Clemson, Boise State game coming up on Sunday as well, Griggs.
That is interesting. That's real interesting. Well, it's interesting for both, but Boise suddenly a bit of a sense of urgency in that game. We'll get to that when we get to the Mountain West, I suppose, but not exactly out. They're not exactly out of the race, but they're not out of the gate fast. Boise, I mean. Clemson's won their bye games.
Let's move over. Let's move over to the Big 12. How about that? How about there, where we've got three teams that have suffered losses. One of them was Arizona State's loss last night to Gonzaga, which Ty, tell us in there applauding. But Dorman, I was actually impressed with Arizona State hanging in there with the Zags on the road.
Sun Devil fans are probably happy with the way they looked after, you know, that scrimmage with Duke and the score got out. Don't take much into the scrimmage scores. You don't know what rotations coaches are playing and what other coaches might be playing and who's getting all the guys in and off their bench. So that's why you don't take those scores so well. Arizona State played really well. It was definitely a letdown situation for Gonzaga after a huge win against Baylor. But Arizona played the part yesterday. They were winning in the first half, back and forth in the second half. Gonzaga had too much down low in the end. But if I'm a Sun Devil fan, I like the way they stayed with the game. They were in it the whole way. I think Curley's probably happy with this team right now.
Rocco, you know, Baylor, it's not on the screen there. They lost that game on opening day to the Zags. But then they come back on Saturday with a nice win over what we think is a pretty good Arkansas team.
Yeah, no doubt. I think some of this is Baylor's got a lot of new pieces. Even Jeremy Roach, who's been in college basketball forever, coming over from Duke, is new to the Baylor program. And, of course, with VJ Edgecombe, the freak athlete freshman, you know, he's going through a learning maturation process, which I think the Gonzaga game was good for him. But I think everybody produced in that win over Arkansas, five guys in double figures, balanced scoring, balanced attack, nice mix of twos and threes. So, yeah, and I think Arkansas themselves, like, that was an interesting matchup. We'll talk about the SEC, but they are in a similar boat. You know, a couple of the key players with DJ Wagner and Big Z did play with Calipari in the past, but everybody else is trying to find themselves. So these results will matter a lot when it comes to team sheets in January, February, March. And right now it's really just kind of a one game to the next situation. Like, Baylor knew that the wheels fell off in the Gonzaga game. They're like, all right, next
were the
game
wheels ever on? Oh, Lord.
No, they were not. So yeah, that's what it's all about, though. You got to just learn. You got to do it. You can't take it too. You can't. It's such a long season. You just got to move on to the next game. And credit to Scott Drew. He knows what he's doing. And they did that.
Tytel, it's not showing on the screen here because Monday's scores from last week are actually not showing up. They're the only catchers the last 7 days, including today. But UCF started the season with a real nice home win over Texas A&M in comeback fashion, and is now 2-0 after they also beat Fort Wayne over the weekend.
Correct. Johnny Dawkins looking great. Two home wins, but obviously A&M is a significant one. Challenging schedule ahead. FAU comes to town on Tuesday, and they'll get two power conference teams at the Greenbrier later this month. The three-point line has been a huge problem, frankly, under 22% behind the arc, among the worst in the nation. But the transfer portal has been very kind. Keyshawn Hall comes over from George Mason. Jordan Ivy Curry from UT San Antonio. They're combining for 29 points, 10 boards, 5 assists a game. So the portal isn't only for, like, the top 10 teams in the nation. There are plenty of power conference teams who can get guys from these smaller schools, plug them in, and play immediately.
Stalika, you want to give a shout out to any other teams here in the conference or move on to the upcoming schedule? I know we did discuss Kansas in North Carolina.
Yeah, let's go ahead and give Cincinnati a shout out for beating Moorhead. Congratulations. You've won your bye game so far. Can we move
and still on? And still a mystifying 17th in the nation in the polls. That's one of the big question marks to me. I still don't understand.
When you look at their schedule, when is their first test? It might be Xavier.
I'll tell you what, we can pull up a team sheet here for the first time all season. A game at Georgia Tech on the 23rd is, and then a game at Villa. No, it might be the Xavier home game on the 14th or Dayton neutral on the 20th. I mean that of December, not November.
Like we said, their first two tests will be in December.
They do have a road game at Northern Kentucky. I give them a shout out for actually playing that game on the road. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Stalika, do you know anything about that series? Are they going to keep that going? I know that there was a four-year deal, and Cincinnati agreed to go there twice in the 4 years in exchange, kind of as a thank you for letting them use their home court while they played their home games at NKU. It's been kind of a fun series. I hope they keep it going.
I have not heard anything about the series being extended beyond these 4 years, but even then I thought this was just going to be a 2-for-1. I didn't realize it was going to be a second home game at NKU tied to the deal.
Yeah, my contact at NKU is not there anymore, and he was when they signed the four-year deal.
If you haven't seen the freshman on BYU, Igor Demon, I believe it is, he is a stud. You're going to want to see him. I think this is a solid BYU team, and he's going to lead the way this year.
Here's the upcoming schedule.
He's a bona fide European pro playing college basketball. It's a freaky time to be in college hoops right now.
He's good.
Couple big games to really highlight the schedule for the Big 12. Kansas Michigan State is the other game in the Champions Classic tomorrow night. Huge game to circle. If Kansas loses this game, then I'm going to be with Rocco and Kansas have been overrated ahead of the season. And Dorman, how about Arizona at Wisconsin on Friday night? Your Wildcats road game.
They'll be in Madison Friday night. Oregon football comes to Madison Saturday morning, too. So it's a big weekend in Madison. Arizona's downfall during the Sean Miller era was always Wisconsin. Sweet 16, Elite 8, they could never get past the Badgers to keep on moving on. So this is a game Wildcat Nation really wants to win. I think we'll be ready. We have Duke coming up after this, but Arizona's looked good so far out of the gate. I expect a big time effort Friday night in Madison.
Yeah, I heard that Wisconsin had an assistant coach that was partying with David Griggs last night and crashed into a stop sign and had to resign today.
We weren't going to talk too much about that. Chad advised me to.
That was a football joke, by the way.
Yes, Chad advised. Well, I don't know. I blame him for partying with me. He should know better than that.
Let's go to the Big Ten conference, where, of course, the only.
Well, seriously, who puts a stop sign in the middle of an intersection like that?
Crazy.
Big Ten conference, where, of course, the only story is the fact that Rutgers is off to a 2-0 start after their dominating, barely pulling out a 10-point win over St. Peter's late tonight. No, but Though they're doing it shorthanded with Ace Bailey still having not yet made his season debut. Hopefully he'll do that Friday against Monmouth. But I guess there's a few other stories here.
There's one big one, wouldn't you say?
Well, let me start with Tytel first of all, and then we'll get I guess there's a few different big ones, but Tytel, I think you had a few takes on the Wisconsin team we were just mentioning.
Coach Greg Gard started last year 1-2, but he's 3-0 with three wins all by double digits. They do get this whole week off. Wildcats come to Madison on Friday. The free throw shooting has been ridiculous, frankly. 92.5% at the line. Senior guard John Tonji is on his third school in 3 years, but the third time appears to be the charm for him. He's averaging 18 points and 5 boards a game. Arizona led Wisconsin by 31 last year when they destroyed them in Tucson. So I'm a little nervous that they might feel that we were running it up, but certainly feeling confident. But you never know. It's our road game.
And Griggs, you had a big story you wanted to discuss. Go ahead.
Ohio State beat Texas. I thought that was
opening day. It's not on the screen there. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a really nice win for an Ohio State team. I personally wasn't expecting a lot out of. Didn't look particularly.
Got them in the rankings too at 21 and 22 in the two polls.
Yeah, and they deserve it. I was really big on Texas, not so much on Ohio State, and they played really well in that game. Probably one of the more impressive showings we've seen from the Big Ten so far. Now, it is early. Most teams are still going through the exercise of devouring their desserts first. They're eating their cupcakes before their protein. But Ohio State went out, played a really good Texas team, and beat them.
Yeah, Rocco, I think the one thing I've seen about the Big Ten, unlike the Big East that got the wins but struggled, I think the Big Ten has really just kind of, most of these teams have rolled over the teams they've been playing.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think, you know, it does say a lot when you can get the games that you want to get scheduled, like Greg says, the cupcakes. But being able to just go out and thoroughly dominate is another. And if you're leaking oil in those games, there's certainly warning signs for future problems, whether it comes down to getting defensive stops, offensive rebounds, all the different four factors that come back to winning games. And you can start to read the early data on that and start to see where there might be cracks in some of these rotations. But again, the rotations in November might be different in December. So it is all grain of salt. And these teams are powerful enough and have enough NIL money to make sure they have 1 through 11 or at least 1 through 9 in their rotation, be a pretty dang solid player in most cases. With that said, I'll go ahead and comment on another cupcake that I covered on Friday, a team with 2 cupcakes last week, I should say, and that was Penn State, a team that I'm pretty high on this year. Getting to see them in person, I didn't think I would get even higher on them, but I did, but I am. They beat UMBC by about 50, but beyond the final score, it was more just about the way that they play together, the way they defend, they rebound. They have a lot of different weapons that can beat you with Ace Baldwin's leadership. It feels like he's been in college for 6 years, but DeMarco Dunn's really improved a lot. Freddie DeLeon was awesome to watch, and the big man, Yannick Conan Niederhauser, very undervalued, took advantage a little bit because UMBC's tallest player is 6'9". So obviously he had a big matchup advantage there, but I think this team is old enough and under Rhodes, who's always been a solid coach. They can not only finish top half, I think they've got a chance to finish maybe top 5 in the league, but we'll see. I mean, we don't know until they start playing some teams.
I'll tell you something, just looking here, and I really wish we had Joby with us today, because this would be a perfect question comment for him. If you look at these predictive metrics here, 18 yep. teams of this conference, everything is double digits. There are no triple digit predictive metrics anywhere in this league. And that, I don't know that I've ever seen we've never really seen many 18 team leagues at all, but see 18 teams and not one of them be way out of that group where, hey, the predictors say you're going to compete and have a shot to win almost every game you play this season is a little bit wild, I think.
Without one in the top 10, Chad, how about that?
Yeah.
And no one in the top 10. The best is Purdue's Ken Pom of 11, I think, on there. But Stalika, I guess real quick, the Dayton Northwestern game, that was one of the conference's few losses.
This was a game that Northwestern had led by double digits in the second half, but unfortunately Dayton wore them down a little bit and the Flyers end up escaping at home. So at least we get a split among the two teams here with Northwestern winning the meeting against them last year.
And, as we look ahead to the upcoming schedule, there is a lot. As we record this, Yale and Purdue is pulled away by, it's pulled up by double digits at the moment. But we have already mentioned the Michigan State, Kansas, and the Arizona, Wisconsin games. I mean, I think the other big, huge one here, Griggs, of course, is Friday night, Alabama, Purdue. Let's just circle as another huge game coming up this Friday.
Yeah, two teams from last year's Final Four. Alabama, we'll get to them here in a second. They've been struggling for shooting the ball from the outside and, you know, really struggled in their first game against Arkansas State. But Purdue, while Alabama will certainly be favored, Purdue, there's reasons to think Purdue can keep beating that game and maybe even win it. One of which is that it's in at Purdue.
You know, Alabama did win tonight. We'll get to the SEC in a few minutes, but you know, got a test from McNeese. I got to figure this out here, Sleeka, though. Why is Cal at USC a Pac-12 game on the Big Ten schedule screen?
I think the bigger question is why isn't California going to a UCLA since they're both part of the UC school system? Or did that come later in the year?
I don't know. What is Cal's schedule? That's a... We'll have to answer that question at some point. Let's jump over to the one last power conference. We only have five in this year. We used to have six. SEC, where we see only one loss on the entire screen there, although there were fewer losses also on opening day, like the Texas and the Texas A&M games we discussed, and the South Carolina game that Griggs alluded to with their loss to North Florida. But I guess, Tytel, why don't we start with the Florida Gators? They're number two on the screen right there.
But not number one in our hearts, Chad. For a team that was number 21 in the preseason poll and has a pair of 15-point wins to start the season, they are on some seriously shaky ground after we learned that Coach Todd Golden is being investigated for some seriously creepy stuff. Allegations is all we have at the moment, that he sent around photos, videos of his, shall we call it, Southern Peninsula, made some unwanted sexual advances online and requests his sexual favors. On the plus side, on the court, his team is number one in the nation, 73% from the field, and there's no way that his opponents are going to continue to make 85% of their free throws. That being said, I'm shocked that he's still coaching. I assume that they would put him on administrative leave by now, but TBD.
So what you're saying, Tytel, is Florida man is coaching Florida.
What's
that? I've lost control. Rocco, Auburn, real nice win over Houston.
My goodness. Well, yeah, and before even the Houston game, what they did to Vermont was a crime.
Oh,
like,
Lord.
Vermont is a team that we probably have more respect for than almost any other under the radar team, and it was bloody. I mean, it was like 84-25 at one point. They end up winning by 51. So this team is absolutely deep and deadly. Of course, they had some issues with their flight over. We won't name names or anything, but it's crazy because, and I even put a tweet out about it when the news was coming out about them traveling into Houston. There's something about this Bruce Pearl locker room year in and year out. This is not a first. Obviously, the specifics are a first, but the issues in the locker room are not a first. It seems like it's almost every year there's something somewhat crazy compared to other programs, but he almost uses it to fuel the fire. There's some sort of science therapy. I'm not smart enough in that area to understand exactly why it works, but it gets his team's attention right when they needed it, either a big game or whatever it may be. And sure enough, they go and play one of the most intimidating physical teams, took it to them pound for pound, punch for punch, and won in their city at the NBA arena. That's just a tremendous win. And with that 50-point win over Vermont, if the net came out tomorrow, I'm pretty sure Auburn's your number one team.
Yeah.
You look at what they are in KenPom at number one and the ESPN.
No, they're number one. There you go.
Number one. Joby's a little behind at having the 15th, but I, you know, so we've got to work.
He's a resume guy.
I believe that he has not updated his numbers since Saturday morning. So they'll be number one probably when he updates tomorrow morning.
Yeah, but what a win. Like Rocco said, that is a huge win. We'll probably see a couple individual wins on team profiles that are better than that, but only a couple. That's probably one of the better wins that any team will manage all year long. And the flight over was, it like what I didn't read too much into it when it happened, because things like that do happen, maybe not to the level and in the way they seem to be happening in Auburn, but generally it doesn't spill over to the court. If anything, it might actually focus a team even more sometimes. Having been around teams where things like that have happened, generally in a weird way, not all the time, but more often than not, the people involved actually end up being better friends almost immediately after it happens. It was just that, like, this kind of got out into the media because not only did the media see it, the plane had to turn around. Which
and the recording of the pilot got out there.
Had that happened at the hotel in the locker room, nobody would have even known. So, but what a bizarre story. And that, and the fact that they ended up winning after that happened, I think I even wrote in the write-up that day, I think Auburn's going to win this. They're ready to go.
Dorman, the upcoming schedule here in the SEC, of course we have Kentucky Duke tomorrow. You mentioned that one already. But there's a few other interesting games, I think on this schedule. Maybe I don't know how much LSU can say. We've mentioned Alabama, Purdue, but anything else you really highlight? Certainly, I'll highlight a few of them.
You just highlighted one of them. Ohio State, after that big win against Texas, now goes on and plays at Texas A&M. I believe that's a true road game. Nice. Ohio State will be tested. Great job scheduling by the Buckeyes there. I'm excited for that one. Ole Miss, I have real high hopes on. They're playing Colorado State over the weekend. Cal's going to Vandy. There's some good games. The SEC will be tested in a few of them.
Yeah, a few of them. We're still in bye game territory for a lot of these games. South Carolina, Indiana, another one coming up on Saturday, although South Carolina, as we mentioned, already lost a home bye game. So I don't
think this is the wrong sport for South Carolina and Indiana this year.
Austin Peay is going to Tennessee. Austin Peay off a nice start.
Yes. I think that's a little over their head, but we'll see.
I
agree.
That's why they play the games. Chicago State is going to Texas. Griggs, I know you're big on that one.
Oh, yeah. I love this Chicago State team. Ohio State beat them, so why can't Chicago State?
Stalika, what other team in the top 25 we haven't discussed? A few more conferences to go, but the only other top 25 team in any of these leagues is in the West Coast Conference. Of course, it's Gonzaga, who's off to that 2-0 start with a pair of very nice wins over Baylor and Arizona State.
Yeah, both within the city of Spokane, but that being said, they put a biblical pounding on Baylor on the opening night, so definitely puts them in the short list of contenders for the national title. They did have to sweat a little bit more against Arizona State, but as we said, Gonzaga clearly going to be the cream of the crop in this league, especially with St. Mary's having to reload a bit this year. But I think the other big win this week, though, was San Francisco beating Boise State at home that they weren't necessarily expected to win on paper, but a nice win for the Dons in the conference here.
Yeah, and it's, I always send emails around before we do these shows, as if there's a team anyone specifically wants to discuss. I don't know that we've ever seen a team that is rated 313 in ranking, the BPI there, Pacific, where two of you both had comments. So, Titel, let me go to you first on Pacific, and then Rocco, I know you've got some follow-up.
I'll try to leave a little bit for Rocco, but this is a team that won six games last year, and they're 3-0. In fairness, two of them were against non-D1 teams. But if you like three-point shooting, do not watch their games. The Tigers shooting 25%, their opponents 16%. The good news, they get their third straight game in Honolulu tonight. The bad news, in the weeks ahead, they play at Arkansas, at Missouri, at Colorado. And they've been doing it with the Canadian pipeline. Three of their top five scorers, Elias Ralph, Elijah Fisher, Jefferson Koulibaly from the Great North. Rocco.
Dave Smart, the greatest coach in Canadian college basketball history. Just an incredible hire by Pacific. I think we might have touched about his history on the preseason podcast for the WCC. But if we did not, this is the most intriguing story, I think, in the entire West Coast for all levels, at least as far as I'm concerned, because the way that he game plans teams is as thorough of a process as I've ever heard of. And this is the same league that Randy Bennett coaches in and Mark Few coaches in, who are incredible game preppers, just in terms of taking away the each individual player's strength and they've really, really studied each opponent. Really curious to see how they do against Hawaii tonight. But the players that John mentioned are all talented. They've got some – and Jazz Gardner came over from Nevada. They've got some pieces to work with. And his coaching, I'm telling you, like this could really be the story of the year in college basketball. I don't want to put that much pressure on them here early because that's not fair. But the early returns are great. They, in Torvik right now, top 50 defense in the very early data. And the other team I want to bring up is Oregon State. Two blowout wins against Weber State and – yeah, but probably Utah Tech. But these are the types of games the last 5 years of Beaver basketball will be coming down to the wire or maybe even lose. They look so much better right now, and they're playing like a top 30 level of defense. So I'm just – and I had a really good chat with Wayne Tinkle at Media Day. He is so excited to be in the WCC so he doesn't get pounded as bad as he did in the Pac-12. And I think the thing that a lot of people across the country might not remember is all these WCC facilities are like 5,000 seat gyms. When you go to Wazoo and Oregon State, you're going to be going to full size power conference arenas that are packed. And he really feels good about the Beavers having a great home court advantage. Tytel can attest. I can attest. They are always a good home team. And I like the mix of players they have. They're playing really well early and they're getting after it defensively.
They're not always packed, Wazoo and Oregon State, but
not always, but when they do, they play pretty well, and they can be tough to beat at home regardless.
Saliga, here's the upcoming schedule. Later on tonight, Idaho at Washington State. In fact, as I said, just started a time very early in the game. But we've got maybe one interesting, very interesting game coming up here on Tuesday night with the Akron-St. Mary's game.
I will be there.
Oh. It's going to be one where St. Mary's looks like they should be holding serve, but I was actually going to look forward to next Monday night where Gonzaga goes down the coast to visit San Diego State.
That's a fun one.
That'll be their first real test away from home.
Yeah, the show will show out for that one. It's incredible. I'm looking forward to that one. I think Gonzaga wins it, but wow.
I agree, but it also is, I think, a fascinating week for St. Mary's with the Akron game and then Nebraska on Sunday. Yep. So we'll follow up on that.
In the Pentagon, yeah. They're playing in South Dakota.
I think they win both of those. I mean, those are two good games. I don't want to dismiss them, but St. Mary's, while they did struggle a little bit against Chattanooga, should win both of those, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. The Beach heads to San Francisco. Yes. San Francisco off to a great start. I really like that squad a lot Wednesday night. Yeah. That can be a good game.
So at what point is the Sanford Pentagon going to start hosting NCAA tournament games? It feels like they've got like a very notable non-conference game every week or every 2 weeks.
What's their capacity?
It's not big enough. It's too small. But it's a great place to play, and coaches love going there. Gets their teams focused.
Yeah, I think the minimum you can have is 13-5 or –
Okay. Yeah, you would probably know.
Come on, we can cut out all the corporate bigwigs. Let them host.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Mountain West Conference. Griggs, San Jose State is off to an incredible start.
Well, I wanted to get to this in my final thought. Well, it's painfully obvious. I had crafted an email, or I'm crafting an email. You might see it on Twitter tomorrow, the next day, asking the Justice Department to investigate the Outrigger Rainbow Classic because it's just utterly corrupt what they're doing to me.
Okay, that's enough. They are actually beating Life Pacific right now by 10 points early. So congrats to the Spartans on the way to their first win. But Tytel, let's go to some real teams here. How about Nevada?
Coach Alford off to a 2-0 start with a pair of double-digit wins over Sam Houston and Washington. They should be able to take care of business at home against Weber State on Wednesday, and then they host Santa Clara. Then they head to the Charleston Classic for three games. Then they host Washington State to start December. So the schedule is ramping up. They're getting it done behind the line. 44% shooting from three-point land, top 40 in the nation. And then their interior defense, 39% allowed, is also top 40 in the nation. Doing it with newcomers like Cal Poly transfer Kobe Sanders and returners like third-team all-conference forward Nick Davidson. They're both scoring over 20 points a game.
Dorman, New Mexico, another big story. They got that big win over UCLA on Friday.
Huge win over UCLA. This score isn't really as indicative as the game was. New Mexico pulled out early, and UCLA never really made a big run to come back and get them in the game. New Mexico was too much. Dent, the athletic wing on the guard, played great. They're big, they're tough, they're physical down low, and UCLA wasn't ready for it. And they beat them up pretty good, and UCLA kind of, in my opinion, backed down. It didn't, New Mexico hit some shots, but it was really what came off to me was New Mexico was physical and ready, and UCLA looked a lot like last year. Uninspiring, not together, not a lot of great teamwork, not passing the ball well. I think UCLA needs a lot of work. But on the upside, what we're talking, I think the Lobos are off to a great start. I think they got a great chance to be top of this, or the top of the Mountain West Conference. I think Pitino's got a great squad this year again, even with a few tough transfer losses.
I have one other quick team I want to mention real quickly here. Rocco, let me ask you about them. San Diego State, we mentioned they've got the Zags coming up soon at home. They were not by any means impressive against UC San Diego in their lone game so far.
Yeah, well, I mean, UC San Diego is better than people think. And, you know, they are dealing with some health issues, San Diego State. And so that's going to take some time to adjust to. But Miles Byrd stepped up in a big way with his 20 points and 8 rebounds, 4 block shots and 5 steals. Talk about stuff in the stat sheet. And BJ Davis stepped up a little bit with 11. He had a big game in the exhibition season. So they've got pieces still. Nick Boyd's still recovering. He didn't play all that well, even though he put up 11. He wasn't that efficient. But we all know what Nick can do from his time at FAU. And McKinney's a solid player, came from San Diego, was their best player there. I think they'll be okay eventually. I don't know if they're ready for what the Zags are going to bring. That's going to be a huge load for both Magoon Gwath and Jared Coleman-Jones in the middle, trying to slow down EK and the boys. But I think eventually San Diego State's going to get this dialed in, and there's good early returns on their defense, which is the bread and butter. There's been some teams that you guys don't even like watching that are still good enough to – be in the NCAA tournament, and I think it's just going to be a potentially a rock fight type of team again, but they're going to win. They're going to win in a lot of games.
Let me ask you this, Rocco, because you know you live out there in Seattle, so of course I consider you an expert on San Diego sports. We saw UCSD almost take San Diego State out last year. I can't imagine it's a rivalry. Perhaps it's a feud. They're in the same city. Is it a matchup thing? Is it like, how do you explain 2 years in a row UCSD, quite frankly, should have won one of them and maybe should have won both of them?
Well, last year was a home game in La Jolla for UCSD.
Yeah, it was.
That was a big opportunity, biggest home game they've ever had in their history. And they almost pulled it out. And they had Bryce Pope last year, who's now playing for USC. And in San Diego State's case here, this is probably the worst. I don't want to say worst because they're not a bad team by any means, but the biggest challenge they've had roster-wise entering a season, just due to injuries and some of the attrition they experienced, obviously with Parrish gone and Butler gone. But there's don't worry. Like by December, January, it's going to be the Aztecs again. It's still going to be and that environment against Gonzaga is going to be so insane that
it will be.
They might pull out a win even in a game that they're not supposed to win.
Yeah, that's the one thing about San Diego State, one of the more rabid fan bases. And to see – it's going to be great. Yeah, like you like that such a highly ranked team is going there.
And it's a good series for the West Coast.
Yeah. I got to highlight some of the other games. We already mentioned most of these already. The Colorado State, Ole Miss, New Mexico, St. John's, Clemson, Boise State again. But, of course, Griggs, the big game of the week is coming up tomorrow night. It is Denver at Colorado State. What is it?
Yes, it is a front range game, a major game, very pivotal, even though it's early on, Denver, Colorado State. So
the other question is, if Westminster wins at a Utah State, do they get promoted to the old Ochre Bucket series?
I think so.
The Beehive Conference. Stalica, over in the American Athletic Conference, I think what we've got to talk about is Memphis, who went to UNLV with a true road game and picked up the win.
Well, they're one of the few teams in the country that's gotten a true road win against a power school in week one right here. You have to give Memphis credit, especially with UAB slipping early in the year with a home loss against Vermont. So far, you got to give the Tigers credit, but Are they going to maintain that momentum is going to be the question we perpetually ask year in and year out.
Yeah, and Tytel, trying to look at other teams in this conference, maybe we want to talk a little Wichita State.
We do. Coach Paul Mills off to yet another 2-0 start. He's beaten Western Kentucky and Montana State. Tough schedule to finish November. Three straight neutral site games, St. Louis, Minnesota, and one of Florida or Wake. Transfer Justin Hill. He was good in his first 2 years at Longwood. He was average in his next 2 years at Georgia. He now looks like an All-American this year. 24 points, 7 boards, 6 assists, 2 steals a game. I know it's early, but I think he's a strong contender for AAC Player of the Year.
Not bad. Rocco, how about Florida Atlantic this year in the new era here for the Owls?
Yeah, John Jacobs takes over and finally gets his crack at a head coaching job. Multiple teams in this range of college basketball. There was a WCC team and others who tried to hire him. Florida Atlantic, got him. And they've built their program up. They've built their NIL up. So even though a lot of the players are gone, Dusty May is gone, they did very well building this roster, in my opinion. So you got Baba Miller and you got Matas. I'm not going to pronounce his last name right. But they're 7'6", 11" twin towers. So almost like what Michigan's doing with Wolf and Vlad Golden, they're doing that here in a different variety at FAU with Baba and Matas. Baba's a pro, in my opinion. Leland Walker came over from EKU, really solid player. Kai Tanders has been in all-conference USA before. And the sophomore, Niccolo Moretti, I mean, he looked tremendous. He's a leading scorer in their blowout win over Indiana State. So I think not only is the upside through the roof with FIU, but it's just going to keep getting better. And they're going to be a matchup nightmare for opposing offenses with these twin towers as long as they stay out of foul trouble.
Dorman, I got the upcoming schedule. I know Salika's a big fan of the Mount Olive East Carolina game. But what are you looking forward to in this week in the schedule?
We'll take a look there Wednesday night, North Texas at Minnesota. Let's see if North Texas can go to a Big Ten school and get a win. UTSA is going to a highly touted Bradley, Missouri Valley school. We'll see how this conference does against the Valley in a true road game. Northern Iowa, Wichita State's another good one.
And circle that, I did circle that Ohio-Memphis game as well. Yeah. It's Memphis' only game in the next 7 days, and it is a – MAC team from the state of Ohio, and the rumor series, if you're playing a MAC team from the state of Ohio, it could be a dangerous game. If they're not an Ohio team, don't worry about it.
I feel like I know we've covered it already. I've been openly critical of Memphis for the last, I don't know, 3-4 years, a little bit of time. I do have to give them credit. I was impressed that they went out to UNLV and won. I said I'll stop saying it when they stop doing it. Maybe this is the year they finally play up to their ceiling.
Jad, you're highlighting the wrong non-conference game. Let's go to the bottom where the University of Alabama at Birmingham is hosting Auburn University at Montgomery.
AUM. Okay. I was wondering what AUM was. Thank you, Salika. It's Auburn Montgomery.
Auburn Montgomery.
Yes.
So Branch Campus.
Florida Atlantic Liberty, another one to look forward to hear a little bit here on Saturday. But one more league.
Nate Oates, play UAB. My God, it's been, 30-year playoff. Anyway, that's
yeah, and FAU has to go to UCF tomorrow, and then they go to the Charleston for the Field of 68 Classic, so they're going to play College of Charleston Friday. Back-to-back is a Liberty game the next day. It's going to be a really challenging week for the Owls. We'll see what they got.
Last conference here, the Atlantic 10.
Woohoo!
Griggs, go ahead. What do you got here? I guess we do have Dayton, and that's the one story with their win over Northwestern.
Yeah, Dayton did have – I mean, it was a home win. They were down for a lot of that game. I think if you determine the winner by who has the lead for the most amount of time, Northwestern won hands down, but they did really come back in the last 10 minutes, 8 minutes, got control, and then – opened it up at the end. St. Louis has kind of let me down. I was really excited about them coming in to this year. I don't know
wait a second. We got to discuss this. So at Tytel.
Okay, go ahead.
St. Louis beat their best player with him injured.
He did score 44 in the losing effort, so that's something.
But sorry, serious note here. Tytel, Loyola Chicago, we want to talk with them a little bit?
They're the only 3-0 team. I think they're worth our time. They started 2-3 last year. Coach Drew Valentine's got it going, albeit with a trio of cupcakes, Chicago State, Detroit Mercy, and Eureka. The schedule gets significantly harder on Friday when they head to Princeton. The three-point shooting needs some work. 25% is atrocious. Junior guard Jaden Dawson, he's been a role player in each of his first 2 years. This year, he's become a star. Offense, 16 points a game. Defense, 2 steals a game. Give him the ball.
Oh, wow. I was actually, hyping this conference up before the season started, and I know it's early, and it's not terrible, but good God, it's been disappointing.
Fordham did win the road game at Seton Hall.
They
we
did.
We discussed that earlier.
Yeah. One of the bigger stories.
And their loss was at St. John's, so that's
yeah. Not
I think this conference has a good chance to pull some good teams up. I know they were down last year, but Griggs, I was with you last week. I'm not losing. I'm not jumping off the ship yet. I think there's some solid basketball here.
Yeah.
I think LaSalle getting 2 blowout wins. I know people probably don't care about Lafayette or American, but they were actually upside Patriot League teams. And again, LaSalle, those are teams that should be close with LaSalle, and they dominated both for the most part. They're tracking as a top 50 defense super early, obviously. But Jaleel White, Deshaun Shepard, Corey McKeithen, and the Explorers are playing in a new arena. There's a lot of buzz going on, and now we're about to start those Big Five games. I'm really excited to see what LaSalle can do. Because St. Joe's looks terrible on the flip side.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Joe's was a team I was kind of big on this year.
Me too.
Yeah, they have nothing on the interior. It's all guards and mistakes.
Cards and mistakes, yes.
I highlighted those Big Five games, the Loyola Chicago Princeton game. Maybe keep an eye on Lemoyne at the Bonnies on Saturday also. Lemoyne gave Syracuse a battle the other night, so.
Yeah. Or maybe don't keep an eye on Syracuse.
that could be the answer as well.
How do you not highlight the battle of the Bronx here between Fordham and Manhattan?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a great series, actually.
It is. That one actually is. That one does get kind of fun. I still like Manhattan and Iona more, but that's a fun one.
On that note, that does actually complete all the teams here. So all I want to do is go ahead and pull this down and go through each of you for any other final thoughts you may have on the evening. And Sleeka, let me start with you tonight.
I think we'll start with 3 notable players from Indiana State. We had already covered Robbie Avila, who gets hurt in the season opener for St. Louis. I think the initial fear was he could have been out a long time, potentially the entire season with his ankle injury. But thankfully, he appears to just be out a couple weeks, even though he did miss the games against his namesake. But also keep an eye on Isaiah Swope, who's going to be another contributing guard for the Billikens. And also Ryan Conwell, who has become Xavier's leading scorer after week 1. Who's also been their most consistent 3-point shooter. Will he be consistent enough with games coming up against Jackson State and Wake Forest? Stay tuned.
Good point. Rocco.
Yeah, it's probably another team I should have thrown on the email, but let's talk a little bit about the Utah State Aggies, who just absolutely demolished Charlotte on Saturday, and they demolished Alcorn State by a million before that. So 2 big demolitions to start Jerry Calhoun's career. But I think the other thing that I like about them, much like Michigan and FAU, they've got 2 monsters in the middle with Isaac Johnson and Aubin Gedaretsi. And so they're causing a ton of problems in the paint. Plus you have Ian Martinez, Mason Falslev, both back, both experienced. You know, Falslev's only a sophomore, but he played a ton as a freshman. Really good looking athlete. Amazing that they kept him. A lot of us from Seattle thought he would follow Sprinkle to UW. He ends up staying in Logan. This is a really, really good team, very undervalued. In last week's 2 games, they offensive rebounded their misses at a 53% clip. That's number 2 in the nation early on. There's so much to like about this Utah State team, and we all know they're going to have a huge home court advantage at the Spectrum. A lot of excitement should be coming Logan's way.
All right. I'm going to pull the screen share back up here. I didn't mean to pull it down yet. Because I know, Tytel, you had a thought, and I'm going to pull a picture up for you right here.
So we mentioned Creighton big man Ryan Kalkbrenner in the Big East segment, but I need to give him a little more love because in just 1 week, the three-time defending Big East Defensive Player of the Year has turned into the greatest shooter in the history of the sport. He's always been a great two-point shooter with the layups and the dunks and stuff, but he shot under 49% from the free throw line as a freshman. He shot under 30% from the three-point line last year as a senior. This year, he's unstoppable. 29 of 32 from the field, including all three of his shots from behind the arc. 12 of 13 from the free throw line. Should be able to keep it going for the next two games, Houston, Christian, and Kansas City. But then it gets a little harder in terms of strength of schedule. They got Nebraska, three top-notch opponents at the Players Era Festival, home games against Kansas and UNLV, then they head to Alabama. Is he going to keep shooting 90% all year? Of course not. Is he looking like the best player in America? You better believe it.
I agree. Impressive performance.
I think he is.
Dorman.
Yes, we talked a lot about teams and easy schedules and cupcakes up and down their schedule. Well, Nate Oates and Alabama are the absolute opposite. They're going the Gonzaga, the Michigan State, the Duke route. Alabama has scheduled in the non-conference Illinois, Purdue, Rutgers. They played McNeese State tonight at home, North Carolina, Creighton, Houston. And that's all before a loaded SEC schedule. I give Nate Oates a great grade on that. Play as much tough non-conference teams as you can. You get your team ready for March. Put your team in tough positions and tough places to play, and you will be much stronger come March. Great job by Alabama and Nate Oates.
Couldn't agree more either. Griggs. I don't agree with, so why don't I ask you?
Well, I already went on my rant about the Rainbow Classic, so I've got two real quick. One is, as exciting as it is to see college basketball start, as excited as we all are, one of the things you can't help but notice, and I think you see it every year, but as the year progresses, you kind of forget that you saw it, is arenas, about 90% of them are half full at best. Even a showcase game like Houston and Auburn didn't look like they filled that arena. Granted, it was a bigger arena. Sometimes I wonder, does college basketball start too early for the general fan to be excited about? And is it a good idea that we continue to start earlier and earlier now going to the full 23-week season? I don't know. Something to ponder, something to think about. My second thought here, Chad, if I can, is I'd like to share a feature. This is actually a legit shameless plug. We've noticed that there's a lot more traffic on the site than what we've seen. Some people looking at this might not be familiar with it. It is our Hoops HD team sheets and DEFCON ratings. Some of the graphics that you saw during the show, I'll just kind of pull up Memphis here. If you want the replicas of the team sheets that you see during the show, you can come here and get it. And we are very excited, aren't we, Chad, to announce that this is now free of charge to all coaches and student athletes. They don't have to pay for this. It's all free. And we're also excited to announce that it's free for everyone who is not a coach or a student athlete.
It is. And we, you know, with the new NIL rules, we didn't even need to secure as much NCAA permission to make it free of charge to student athletes as we used to in the old days. So it is not an impermissible benefit as far as we understand it. So again, any student athletes want to look at it, you're not going to lose any eligibility. You're not going to lose any eligibility.
Yeah.
That we're aware of.
And next week it might be free for someone else. I don't know.
On that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. On behalf of John Titel and David Dorman up here, John Stalica below me, David Griggs, Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org as well. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we will be back Wednesday night with our first Under the Radar show of the season. Talk to you again real soon.